Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crack Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crack Podcast. You're on with your host, Mauricio Mookie Wilson. And I'm so proud to be with my two brothers, my co-hosts, my partners in crime. Let's get a big round of applause for Mr. Media, a.k.a. DeMarcus Beasley.
What up, fellas?
You don't feel energetic today.
Man, you see my eyes a little red. I'm a little tired. I ain't gonna lie.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, coming all the way from the DMV with the jerry curl in his hair and the glasses on his nose. It's getting a big round of applause for the professor, the scholar, aka Glow, always known as the Gooch or Gucci on Yingy.
Right, can we cut it? Can we cut this man right now? I mean,
but you do have a jerry curl though.
Y'all mad because you can't grow this right now? Or what? What's the problem? What's the problem?
Why do we always start the show off with everybody cracking on everybody? Can we just?
I don't crack. Can we just start the intro
and just have a peaceful beginning?
It doesn't sound like us, Beast. Doesn't sound like us, man. Hey, we're so happy to be back. I'm so glad to be here in the Crack. Another episode. It's actually going to be our last episode of the season. Let's get a round of applause for that. Again, the Crack was something that was organic that we always spoke about, and it was the right time. And I enjoyed the first season. How about you guys?
Yeah, y'all got me out of my comfort zone, goddamn. So I ain't never talked this much in my damn life.
Not in public.
Not in public. It's been great. I enjoyed it, especially the guests. The guests we've had on the show, those have been amazing. The conversations we've had, just hearing every different, their points of views on different issues that we brought up throughout this season. Yeah, it's been great, man, for sure.
Yeah, I'm liking it, man. Shoot, like I said from the beginning, this is just like when we're on the phone, so we get to kind of give people an inside look at us clowning each other. Albeit we only clown each other for maybe like 5 minutes on the phone, to probably be like 45 minutes
yeah, in the argument, but we always have things to say. We always respect each other's opinion, and I'm hopefully you audience as well enjoying yourself, and you can give us feedback because we want to argue with you too. I'm from New York City. I have no problem having an argument as long as it's respectful, right? A lot of things have been going on. Obviously all the leagues are back to playing. People are still getting positive tests of Corona. And one of the people is one of the superstars is Neymar. And unfortunately, it looked like everybody went to hang out with Ibiza and nobody called us. Thank God, right? But Neymar was recently found with coronavirus, and somehow he was repaid by a new deal, leaving Nike, which was his flagship, the Jordan brand, Neymar, and went over to Puma. So let's get a round of applause for getting the big money. Neymar got a big dollars going over the pool.
I want to know what that big money is, because I know what he was leaving.
What was he leaving?
I think it was like worth 100 mil the last 2 years of his contract.
Definitely.
Something stupid.
100 million? That's just on shoes, yo. That's just a damn
soccer, endorsement.
Football brand. Goodness gracious, 100 million?
That was close to like yours when you were with Nike, right? Something like that.
$100. That's about what Nike gave me. They cut me. They was like, all right, man, it's time to go.
But we see in Puma is taking a different place in the market. Have they really been aggressive? And I remember Puma a couple years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, when they came back out in the soccer world. They came out with Vengeance, but they were very tentative. Now it's like they're going full blown, you know?
Yo, I love Puma. I wore Puma my last year in my last year at MLS.
Yeah.
And man, I love the shoe. The shoe that was the most comfortable shoe I've ever worn in football.
Definitely. I agree.
Since I started.
Do you remember what shoe that was?
What I wore?
Yeah, what type of Pumas?
Puma Kings.
Oh,
had a Puma King.
Bees. Come on, yeah. Puma Kings.
And then, catch a joke though. So I had a couple of contacts with the cook man, Chris Maxwell. He set me up with the guy from Puma.
Yeah.
And I didn't get paid. All they did was I took out the money part. I was like, yo, I just want to wear y'all boot. You know what I'm saying? I went to them. It's like, yo, I want to wear y'all shoe.
Who were you playing with at that time?
Houston.
Oh, you mean after?
My last season. Yeah. I wore Pumas. Man, I'm telling you, I wish I would have wore Pumas my whole career.
Yeah, I mean, the Puma Kings, which goes way back, is a historic shoe, was always the most comfortable leather and the best feeling.
I mean, obviously, I'm a supporter right here. Obviously, they got Onyx on
their side. Hey, my soccer team is sponsored by Puma, too.
So. There you go. And the crazy thing is, what's sponsored by Puma?
My soccer school.
Just shout it out.
Beasley National Soccer School.
There we go.
It's not DeMarcus Beasley.
No, it's not Beasley National Soccer School.
My brother, my
hey, father, tell him put some respect on your name.
Yeah, all of us.
Huh? Put some respect on his name. Nah, but like
on the family, goddamn.
Bro, at this time, like all shoe companies, all apparel companies, there's no shoe company that's like not comfortable, right? Because they're all pretty much taking the same style from each other, the color scheme and everything like that. But you know, Puma's made a huge push. I mean, they got Milan, they got Man City, they got Valencia, they got Dortmund, you know, they got all these big teams, and now they're acquiring these big players as well. They're giving Nike and Adidas a run for money.
I'm telling you, I ain't want no money. You know what I'm saying? Y'all not hearing me. I just wanted to wear the shoe. You know what I'm saying? When they sent me some Pumas to try out, I just wanted to wear the shoe. I was like, yo, don't pay me. No, I'm good. Just give me the shoe. I'm good to go, yo.
Yeah, but what do you think? Is this the decline of Nike? Because that's a huge name to lead their brand two years early.
Yes, yeah. And not only in soccer, but also in basketball as well, right? Puma just signed LaMelo Ball, right, who should be, if not number one draft pick, number two, number three draft pick at NBA draft. They have Kyle Kuzman. I mean, they have Michael Porter Jr., Marcus Smart, RJ Barrett. I mean, they really, really have been going after the top young players. So they're not just going after the soccer situation. I mean, they also have, obviously, Rihanna, and they have the music with Jay-Z and Rock Nation. So they're really coming to take over this world, right?
Yeah. And I'm not minding it.
You can't even forget your countryman, one of the biggest athletes in the whole world of sport.
They've been running track and field for some time now with Usain Bolt. Man. And they spent a lot of money in Jamaica, the young track and field players coming up, you know. So, I mean, it's Puma time, you know, and see how Nike's going to react. And where does Adidas stand with Messi on the decline, you know?
Wait. Come on.
Come on, how he threw that in there?
Disrespect a man like that.
Messi did not win La Liga or the Champions League.
He didn't win any trophy this year. That's a decline.
It could be a small, that's a decline. At his age, that is a decline, you know? That is a decline, man.
But that's a whole nother step. Yeah, we ain't trying to get into that right now.
So, Puma, we have a great relationship with you. We're sponsoring Onyx Elite and sponsoring BZ National Soccer School. So, you know, the crack is interested in you sponsoring as well. So, we'll have Neymar up on here and we'll discuss it and make that Neymar/the crack brand happen. You know what I mean? Sounds good? Makes sense?
I like that. Makes sense, man.
But we're going on to another sport I want to talk to you guys about is what's going on in the NFL. They just started last week. And unfortunately, for the first game was obviously controversial, which comes like a regular thing now in sports, especially the first game. But I don't know if, Gooch, did you get a chance to see the game and did you hear what unfortunate incident that happened in the beginning of the game?
You know, I'm not a huge watcher of National Football League. One, because they weren't playing. My Washington Football Club wasn't playing. But when I saw the reactions, I saw the replays of the reactions of the fans at the Kansas City Chiefs game, and I was disgusted. I mean, quite simply, there's no other way to put it. I was disgusted because over here you have a large population saying they're disrespecting the flag by kneeling.
Yeah.
And over here you have an instance where nobody's kneeling, but they're just locking arms in solidarity, and you still get booed. So actually, what are you booing for? The show of solidarity against a movement, or what are you booing? I don't get it.
It's against, you know, being united. It's racism. There was no flag, like you said. There was no flag. There was no national anthem being played, where albeit the national anthem or the black national anthem. Neither national anthem was played. It was nothing about anything patriotic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was more so just being a human being. You know, we want to stop racism in this country. We want equality for everyone in this country. And that's what they're trying to show. You know, lock hands, everyone, different colors, different race, whatever. You know, they lock hands, say we together, we're gonna fight this as a group, as a nation, and they still get booed. How does that shit still happen?
Before all that, I want to talk about the two different national anthems they're trying to play now, which I think is silly. Obviously, there's some problems with the original national anthem because it was made and was written by somebody, and the third verse was very offensive to African Americans in the country. Do you guys got a note, an email, letter in the mail about this black national anthem situation?
I mean, I heard about it that they're going, and they said they're going to do it every.
I know, but when was this considered? Who made this, said this is considered the black national anthem, and that's going to be different than the regular national anthem?
I don't know, Doug.
How can we ever be together? And I don't know who's at fault. Am I saying it's the NFL? Am I saying somebody, the consultant? I'm sure it's a consultant agency that thought it was a great idea. But we cannot have a nation that we have. If we have a problem with the original national anthem, then we have to have a different one that we all are singing or unified behind. I think that's just the start of being divisive. Divisive, right? Is having two national anthems played before the game. I mean, might as well start a whole playlist. Play some 50, give me a little Rihanna. You know what I mean? Rest in peace, Pop Smoke. I mean, you might as well keep it going. Have a DJ out there and just make it run from there, you know?
Straight up. You know, yeah, I don't agree with that either. I don't know why or who came up with that idea to play both national anthems before the game. I mean, that's what it's going to be. They don't play no national anthem. You know, I think I read somewhere where, and it's true though, they don't play the national anthem before any kind of other event, not so much sporting events, but any event.
Yeah,
it's a concert. They're not playing national anthem.
Definitely national anthem. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? If it's those kind of things, so why even still? If it's an issue, and obviously there's going to be division in the country, then don't play the national anthem.
Yeah. I mean, by definition,
if one
group feels that the original national anthem isolates one group, and then by saying this is the black national anthem, by definition, that isolates everybody else.
exactly. Yeah. You know, I want to get a big round of applause to a former teammate of yours, Carlos Bocanegra, who just recently got inducted into the National Soccer Hall of Fame 2020. Carlos is a national team player who went to UCLA, played for Chicago Fire, Fulham. He went to overseas. He played Rennes. He played for Saint-Étienne. He played for the Rangers. Chivas USA, played at Racing Santander. I mean, he played at some really, really incredible clubs and had a great, great career. Do we agree that Carlos is supposed to be inducted to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Hey, big up Los. Big up Carlos. Hey, that's my roommate in Chicago our first year.
Yeah.
Everybody, this man's roommate.
Yeah. He played long enough.
He prefaces everything with that. That was my roommate. I'm like, how many roommates you got?
A little bit of history. People want to hear stories, right? Hear stories. You know, I mean, I don't have an actual story, but I'm just saying.
I want to hear a story. Give me a story.
I'm just saying. Now, we were roommates our first year, our rookie season. We both came in 2000. We stayed close to the airport, away from the city, and we had a what do you call them? The two floor apartment, I think he lived upstairs. I was downstairs. And I mean, it was cool. You know what I'm saying? We rode a train together. He would drive one day. I would drive one day. You know what I'm saying? I got to listen to Blink 182 and Green Day. I still remember them days.
Like, is that why you have the posters up in your house now?
We made a pact. Like, when you drive, you handle the radio. When I drive, I handle the radio.
Makes sense.
But to this day, I like Red Hot Chili Peppers now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's one of my favorite groups.
Green Day's popping too, brother.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So Blink 182 back in the day, they was popping back then. So
I was always wondering why you had them bumper stickers on the back of your car.
No, but big ups to Los. Congratulations, well deserved.
I was surprised to see only one person that got through. If I'm looking at it right now, Carlos Bocanegra got 68.5% of the votes. Steve Cherundolo got 57.3%. Hope Solo got 57.3%. Shannon Box, big time player, 52.2%. Jaime Moreno, 50.6%. Frankie Hadick, Beast Boy, got 46.6%. And David Beckham, 45.5%.
With the first names you said, on the women's side, these are World Cup winners, man.
I don't know how Hope hasn't been in there yet.
From the first time, she should have been in there.
How can she only be getting 50? Was it 57?
Yeah.
57% of votes, man. How is that possible?
Who's voting?
That's the thing. We bring this shit up every year when there's inductees that go into the Hall of Fame and all the people that's been in the Hall of Fame that's got inducted, 100% they deserve it. There's no problem with that. But not even all the people are voting. You know what I'm saying? When you have Abby Wambach come in, she's at the time when she got inducted in, she was the most. She had the most international goals in world football, in man or woman.
Amazing.
And dog, she got 80% of the votes. How is she not a first time ballot?
Without a 100%, doubt. Without a
unanimous.
Doubt.
Unanimous. She had the most goals in international football history.
Yeah, yeah.
And she only got 80% of the votes.
I'm kind of nervous for you guys, man.
I mean, but it's a thing where it's like, do they really care? Because we had the same conversation after every year. You know, I started to say this before. When people get inducted, we always say there's a problem with the system. There's a problem with the voting. There's a problem with all these things that go in with the Hall of Fame and who gets in. Who doesn't get in.
Who doesn't get in.
So why don't the board, why don't the people at the Hall of Fame actually change it and listen? Because I think they don't care.
They don't care.
Right now, it's probably like an old system that it's like turnkey, and they're like, oh, it'll work itself out.
Yeah, I listened to Julie Fowdy's interview with ESPN the other day. Mm-hmm. And she said she talked to one of the board members, something like that, and said that they're trying to change. They're going to, within the next 12 to 18 months, they're trying to change the voting system and how the system works, basically.
And
they should. Because if you want people to take this seriously, then you're going to have – I mean, the last year or two, only 30% of people voted. 30. Mm.
That 30% is giving the 60% to Carlos.
Yeah.
That's sad. You
have 30% that's the people that's supposed to vote aren't even voting.
Don't even vote.
So you got to change that. You got to change that rule first.
That's great.
You know what I'm saying? Multiple people said it. Yo, if you don't vote, you lose your vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You want to get even deeper, you can say, okay, well, we need to see who's voting, who are obligated to vote, and who's not voting and who is voting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are some quick changes that maybe they can help and actually want people to get in. So, Gooch, let me ask you, because I don't know, how long you been retired now?
3 years this fall.
Yeah, you should be. I think it's yet to be retired for 3 years, I think.
Well, here's the eligibility, right? You have to everybody has to be a player, must have been retired for at least 3 full calendar years.
There you go.
But for no more than 10 full calendar years for purpose of 2014 election, which means that a player must have retired no later than 2010 and no earlier than 2004. After being qualifying for what I just read, you have to have one of these three. A player must have played at least 20 full international games for the United States. This 20-game requirement is reduced to 10 games if the games were prior to 1990. A player must have played at least 5 seasons in the American First Division, Professional League, and been a postseason league all-star at least once. Last qualification, the player played at least 5 seasons in a Major League Soccer league between the end of the NESL in 1984 and the end of MISL in 1992, and been selected as a first-team postseason All-Star at least one of those seasons. So, Gooch, maybe because you haven't played too long in the MLS.
Brian, I'm not even worried about that.
That would be my question. I mean, Gooch, because what Mook said with the eligibility, you are eligible this year.
After this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so after this year. All right, so, I mean, do you care? Do you?
I mean, obviously.
Not so much care.
I wouldn't put care, but obviously it's a prestigious thing to get. You know, I'd be honored if I got it, but.
Right.
As you just said, like the stipulations, if like only a small percentage of the people that are meant to vote are even voting, then who's actually voting? Who's casting a vote?
Yeah.
You know, and how much weight does that vote even hold? So yeah. They definitely need to change the process if they want to get some real, real results.
So is that the answer, making this something that's really viable, that players really feel like they passionately like?
Gooch, I mean, either you got to make the people that are able to vote, you have to mandate them to vote. Because like, how hard is it to cast a vote?
Yeah.
Really and true.
And if they're not casting a vote, then how much are they really involved in the culture?
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's like they don't care about the history of American soccer.
American soccer.
We have history. We have so many, you know, from the people that played on the field, from the people that started the game back whenever it started. You know what I'm saying? Like they got the builders, they got the veterans, they got the players, they have all these different categories of where you can get in. So everyone that's helping build the game of football, soccer in this country should be recognized.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So why don't they take that seriously as much as us as now, because we can say we're the media now, because we do have a podcast, so yes. We're media now. Why don't they take us seriously? And everybody else is saying, yo, it needs to change. We've been saying the same things for the past, I don't know how many years.
Damn, Bees is excited about this, boy.
I'm just saying.
But listen, fellas, I have a new soap opera. I finally have recovered from All American. my new soap opera is called All of Nothing. It's a documentary that comes on Prime, Amazon. And this year they're following Tottenham Hotspurs. Last year it was Man City. And it's perfect because Mourinho now is the coach of Tottenham. And everybody know Mourinho is a man of who loves entertainment. He loves to kind of give funny dialogue. He loves the showmanship, you know. And I've enjoyed it. I think there's 3 more episodes left. I think I went through 6. Bees, have you had a chance to check it out? What's your thoughts, man, of the person who actually played in those stadiums?
Yeah, I mean, I had no problem with what Danny said. I had no problem.
Hold on, we didn't get there yet. We're talking about as a whole, as a show. You as a former player who's been in those locker rooms, in those environment, is this still entertaining to you? Myself, seeing behind the scenes, not saying I haven't been around it, but it's obviously a little bit different feeling than you guys who've played in Europe and had those experiences.
I mean, I get it. It's TV, you know what I'm saying? But me personally, no, I don't like it. Cause I was surprised when I saw it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They actually let, you know, the cameras go in that deep. I mean, those are conversations and things that are being talked about with deals and what team players might go through.
That's
hot.
You know,
for fans.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying?
Fans, you want to hear those kind of conversations. What really goes on in those one-on-one conversations with the coach, with the managers, with the board, with the owner. You know what I'm saying? But for me as a player, no, I wouldn't like that. If I was in that situation, I would have said, yo, take my shit off camera, yo. Like we
there's a price tag for everything.
Yeah, well,
exactly. That check.
No, if they pay me. You know, saying individually, nah, yo, I wouldn't. I still wouldn't.
He's lying.
We're gonna give you £2 million to have your meeting with the coach recorded.
Well, I mean, you didn't say minutes. Millions. Now you didn't say
Everything has a price tag. I said a price tag.
No, I mean, if they were, you know, saying they would have, you know, said okay, everybody on team.
Do you think the fans have the right for that transparency to be able to see and to hear who they support?
They don't have the right. What they have the right to do is to watch the final product on game day. That's what they have they have the right to do. That's what they pay to get into the stadium to watch. Now they don't.
But Mook, since you've been watching it, to be honest, what's been the feedback? Because I haven't watched it, like the whole show. I watched clippets.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, I take it as a soap opera, meaning, like, you know, they try to have a little drama before every game.
Yeah, but what's the feedback from, like, this general?
Yeah, I mean, I think people love it. I think, you know, Mourinho has a big a fan base. Obviously, the Tottenham fans love it. There's no really negativity towards it. I think
What's your opinion on his bust up with Danny?
So what happened was Danny Rose, a veteran left back for Tottenham Hotspur's English international, it seemed like he was not getting every weekend starts. And what happened is that he didn't start the previous weekend. And then against Liverpool, he got the starting nod. Jose Mourinho felt that he was a veteran. He did well in practice. He went with a guy he trusted. Danny Rose didn't perform well. Next week, he was dropped. So Danny felt the way, like, listen, what's going on? You playing me? You're not playing me? He didn't like how he was feeling. So the camera showed Danny showing up to the offices. And Bees, what he say to Mourinho?
He said, Gaffer, I got a problem. No, he said, what's the problem? First thing he said.
Yeah, he walked. He said, Gaffer, what's the problem? And then he walked away. He was like, yo, follow me in the room, Gaffer. So I like that, you know, Danny was like, listen, I'm a veteran. You can't come here and play no games with me. And I think they had a heart-to-heart conversation. The headlines was the blow-up. But I didn't take it as a blow-up, Gooch. I talked, it was two grown men talking to each other. Danny had an issue. He presented himself to Mourinho. Mourinho was very honest. Said, listen, Danny, you didn't play terrible, but he wasn't nothing great.
Right.
Right? Like you could be rotated. You know?
All right. So I've been in this position before.
Yes.
Right? And I've been in this position where you weren't playing and you wanted to play. You felt like you should be playing in front of somebody else. And in this position, I've told players, young players all the time, opportunities don't come a lot. So you can't make an excuse when you're not playing that you should be playing. And then when you get the opportunity to play, say that you didn't play well because you weren't playing, right? Because then there's a cycle of excuses. So you either prepare yourself for that moment and then shut up when you get that moment, because you can't say, okay, you've been playing well, you're playing great. He was training really good up until Liverpool, and Jose Mourinho told him so. But what happened was he shit his bed when he got in the game, right? So he had his opportunity to solidify everything that he's done prior to that game in the week of training and be like.
Well, what about Bees? What about what he's saying that, listen, you have other people on the team who don't play well and still get the benefit of doubt to play again next game. And he's saying that he's a veteran. How come he's not getting that same treatment? Where is this coming from?
Yeah, I mean, when you cut me off before, I don't see any. I don't see no problem with that, because it's at the end of the day, it's a business, right? The coach wants to play the best players. You know, the player wants to play, and regardless of his ambitions of him wanting to, you know, play in the Euros for England in summer, and obviously he needs to be playing because that's what they need. If you're going to be a international, you need to be playing week in and week out with your club team. Mm-hmm. But you got to give the manager some pressure too. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he wasn't looking at Danny in training as much as he should be. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, that's just kind of – playing mind games. So when you go talk to a coach, that next day in training, he's going to be looking exactly what you do. So that's what you're saying. That's your chance to shine.
Playing in a sector of the field that you can't be turning over every four players. The defense has to develop consistency, so you can't just be like,
he's trying to say, like, leave us consistent. Like, he's basically saying, you should know I'm your left back.
No, but he's basically telling Jose Mourinho that Jose is keeping it consistent and he shouldn't be because of other people's performances. That's what he's saying, and I get it. He's frustrated, and every player should be frustrated if you feel that you should be playing at a certain level. But at the same time, he said he got his opportunity and he didn't do well, and he's mad because I play once every 3 weeks. Like, bro, that's more than some people are playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you have the opportunity to play at Tottenham, so take your chance and run with it. Don't make excuses for not capitalizing on it. That's what I say personally.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to introduce to you our guest for today. We have a young footballer out of Philadelphia Union. Young international, homegrown player who we feel is on a break to go overseas. I want to give a big round of applause and bring it to the building, the new legend. Let's give a big round of applause, please, my man, Brendan Aaronson. What's up, B?
How are you? Good?
We thought we wouldn't have to teach you how to put your camera horizontal since you're a young boy and you should be teaching us old guys how to do this.
There we go.
How you feeling, brother?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, man. Thank you so much for joining myself, Mookie Wilson. Obviously, you know, DeMarcus Beasley and the Gooch, Aguchi and Yebo. How you feeling, man? Congratulations on your win this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Feeling good.
Y'all had a day off today?
Yeah, we just came in for a regen today since there's a week off for the next game. So we just have today regen and then the next 2 days off, which is nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hey, so when you guys are usually in season, how does your training schedule go? If you guys have a week in between, do you guys have a day off during the week or you guys train all week?
After
the game.
Yeah. After a game, it depends. I think it's if it's a win or a loss, really. I think that it just depends. I think we usually have like, if it's a week, it's usually a day off and then training. This is like the first time where we've actually had a regen and then 2 days off. It's usually right after the game day off, then
yeah,
next day training or something like that. Okay. Yeah.
So, Brendan, you guys think you guys are nice, man. You guys are busting everybody up. How does it feel as a homegrown representing New Jersey to see the Union actually shining, not when Gooch was playing?
Whoa! Don't dignify that with a response.
Yeah, were y'all already good when you were playing though? Were y'all good when you were playing?
You know, we were going through a redevelopment.
but Aaron, you were watching from the academy, and again, like you have that passion to represent Philly. Obviously, you've been rocking with the Union for many years, and coming through the system, man. How great does it feel to see these guys on top?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an awesome feeling. I mean, I've been going to games since I was 10 years old, and that's when I first started. So going to the games from a young kid and just being able to be in that stadium and just seeing the team get better and better throughout each year, I think it's awesome to be on the field, really. It's just awesome to be playing every game and getting the chances that I have, and I'm just super grateful for it, and I'm super grateful for the coaching staff that we have there and the players that we have.
So now you represent Medford, New Jersey, correct?
Yeah.
So do you guys really classify yourself as Jersey or Philly? You're so close.
So, yeah, the thing in Jersey is South Jersey's Philly and North Jersey.
New York.
Like, yeah, New York. So
there is no such thing as Jersey, basically, trying to say.
Yeah, it's two split. It's basically two different states, to be fair, North Jersey and South Jersey.
So, Brendan, what is a South Jersey footballer play like, look like? Like, what's that vibe? What is a South Jersey footballer like?
Yeah, I mean, for what I've seen, I think South Jersey's gotten a lot better. I think North Jersey was always kind of Tab Ramos. You had all those guys that were on that World Cup team that one year that came from North Jersey. And North Jersey's known to be making really, really good soccer players. So I think South Jersey's really starting to come up now. And there's a bunch of really good clubs down there, such as my dad's, Rion, New Jersey. That's where I started.
Nice.
Now I'm at the head of the club down there, so it's really good.
I like that plug too. We're just gonna plug your pops in, but I like that plug. You're raised right, son. You're raised right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a great club, and now the teams are doing really well. I think the 04s or 05s were number one in the country at one point. So
nice.
I think the clubs down there are getting better and better.
This guy. So are you living at home right now?
Yes, I am.
But you're the big man on campus. How are you living with your parents? What's going on, buddy?
No, I'm saving my money.
Hey, that's Gooch. That's what you call smart.
Hey,
yeah.
I taught him that.
When you were growing up.
I didn't have the – wait, my parents going to live with me in France?
What yes. Bring the whole family to France.
How is that saving money for anybody?
but I think he don't want to leave that home cooking. That's his problem.
True.
Yeah, no, I can't cook. I cannot. I need to work on that for sure.
And that's incredible. Did your father still scream at you about the games when you now you're a professional and you come home?
Yeah.
He still.
Not as much as when I was younger. I don't think he really yelled at me. I think he was just kind of having that like understanding of like when I played bad and when I didn't play bad. It was no like screaming or anything like that. And I think it was more myself keeping like I always put a lot of pressure on myself to do well. And I think I'm a perfectionist in that sense. So I think that's something that I've always had, and my dad's kind of developed that in me. So I think that now it's just like he knows that I know when I play bad and then how I bounce back from it. I talk to him. And we just have a really good relationship like that.
Great stuff. Great stuff, man. Who's the better player, yourself or Paxton, your younger brother?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this I get this question a lot, to be fair. But
how old is he?
He is 3 years younger than me, so he's 17. Yeah, I think he's 17. Just turned 17 in August.
So, and he just signed a homegrown as well, right?
He just signed a homegrown, yeah. So yeah, me and him. I'm going to say me, of course.
why you say that, though? You got to back it up with something.
I mean, the 1v1s that we play, I'm always winning those.
That's because you're stronger than him.
Not for long.
No, he's like my size now. He's really grown up. Like, now I can't take it as easy as I used to be able to body him and do all that kind of stuff. But now it's like,
wait, you would body him? How much do you weigh? Who you body?
Like 155, I can body.
Hey, I remember them kind of days though. When out, because me and my brother had kind of the same situation with Brennan and Paxton. I was probably about 110. My brother was probably about 150 when we were growing up. And I used to buy that motherfucker sometimes, yo. When we played in the backyard, I used to win some of them games.
So Beez, what's the age difference between you and Jamal?
Me, we're like 2.5 years. So when we were both still in high school. He was the first. I don't, people don't know this, but my brother was the first ever player signed out of high school. When he signed
and to get a Nike deal, I was very jealous.
Yeah, he got a Project 40 Nike deal. But the comparison with, you know, when Brendan was talking about with him and his brother when they play and how competitive they are, and then, you know, I was the same way with my brother. You know, I looked up to him because I wanted to be, you know, him, because he was a big man on campus. You know what I'm saying? I'm probably thinking the same thing as Paxton, as your brother. You know what I'm saying?
I want to be where
he was. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to, you know, when we played, even when back in Fort Wayne, when we played club, you know, he was the age group 2 years above me. But I would always be watching his games. I would always be, you know, seeing what I can improve on and this and that. And then when we go and play, I'm going to try to compete. And I'm going to try to win. You know what I'm saying? And that's where a lot of my competitiveness, because I'm still small, but that's where a lot of my competitiveness came from with my brother in the backyard. It started from then. You know what I'm saying?
I think you ended up okay.
I got beat up with my brother. You know what I'm saying?
Brandon, I think that helps.
Is Paxton training with the first team?
No, not yet. He's with Steel. He's getting some games, and I think it's good for him to get in that kind of environment of pro games and just at the competitive stage right now, because we don't really know how many games he's going to have. So I think just the games that he plays right now is good, because he's not going to be able to play games with us. So I think just games for him is good right now.
Right. I think it's crazy because obviously, you know, when I was there, you were just a young little tadpole. And sometimes you would come some days training with, you know, with the first team sometimes. And I remember I saw you one training session and we had a scrimmage and I was like, who is this little kid running all over the place trying to chop people up? And then he grew up and I'm like, hold up, this cat's getting called into the national team. All right, you did okay. You did okay in the last year, my friend. You developed quite well over there. What do you think is the biggest difference has been in terms of your development from 3 years ago till now, being a starter on the
union? So when I came up with you guys, I was playing with Steel at the time, and that's the second team at the union. It was called Bethlehem Steel at the time, but now it's called Union 2. But I think just being able to, in that environment at first, that pro environment with Bethlehem Steel really shaped me. I think made me kind of see the competition and make me want to work harder. And I think that when you saw me, I was smaller and I wasn't really grown into my body yet. And I had to figure out ways that I had to use my small stature and think faster and all that kind of stuff. Because when you're small like that, you have to think the game more. So I think that when I started to get my height and I started to get more speed and all that kind of stuff, I think that I took the stuff from when I was smaller, the thinking side of things, and then I brought it to when I started getting speed and stuff like that. So I think that's really, really what helped me get to that kind of next level and just working hard.
So you think like just puberty hit and you're just like, boom.
I think it actually does have to do with that, because I felt like that year and in the year before that, I felt like a baby giraffe on the field. Like I couldn't move. Like it was like,
you still look like a baby giraffe.
My legs were so long and skinny. Like I think I grew like 6 inches or 5 inches and just like,
nice.
4 or 5 months. Like it was a crazy, crazy just jump in height. So I think that definitely had something to do with that. And just, like I said, working hard.
Does that mean you be in the gym too? Be honest.
Yeah, I mean.
Be honest. We don't be in the gym.
Yeah. No. I'm not a big gym guy, but I get in there I go and do all the lifts and I'll do extra lifts with some of the guys, but mostly my work is on the soccer field. And I think that I spend extra time with my dad, extra time with my brother. Like over quarantine, I had the keys to like this facility, which was inside. And me and my brother went there every day for 2.5-3 hours a day, just playing 1v1s, working on our turning, all the technical stuff. So I think that's something that's like has always been engraved at us, is just working hard.
Yeah.
Not bad, not bad.
B, tell me about the union. Obviously, they have a reputation now of bringing up a lot of quality players. McKenzie, yourself, Fontana. What makes that school and that academy so special? What are they doing to develop a quite quality players like
this? Can they get that to Houston? Can y'all, you know, reciprocate?
Say no. Say no. Say no.
No, but the YSC is a really, really special place. And I think when Gooch was there, it was kind of starting to come up at the time, and it was starting to get more kids. And now it's a full-blown school. Like, you have grades from 8th to senior year, or 7th to senior year. I actually haven't been there in like a few months now because I really haven't had time, but it's a special place. I think the teachers there are super like, it's not easy, but it's like they work around your schedule. So
accommodating.
What'd you say? Sorry.
Accommodating.
Yeah. Accommodating. Yeah. So you're basically, if you go to play with the second team, you have to come before school and get your schoolwork done. So it's like, they just find ways to bend around your schedule and like all that kind of stuff. And I think that we had double sessions when I went to the school too. So being able to work on stuff that I need to work on in the morning and then go to school and then have a training afterward, like that just really helps that age, just getting that extra training.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge, huge, man. And we see like now, that is like the prime example of how you put together a residency in the country right now. You
know, yeah,
everybody exactly. talks to me about the Union Academies, how they are the best teams in the country, and how some of the academy teams can beat the national team, the youth national teams. You know, did you have any international players that were at the academy with you that you thought that was phenomenal that maybe didn't make it to the MLS or went other routes?
Yeah. As a young kid, I think that most of the kids in the Union Academy got called up to go to the national teams. There was always a few, always in my age group. And I think that happens with every kid. I think it's just like the way you develop and how bad you want it. I think that some kids peter out because maybe they were super hyped at a young age and they felt like they were already on top at one point and they didn't work as hard. And for me, I actually didn't get called into many youth national team camps. And I was never really a part of like a steady national team group. So when I saw these kids go to camps and stuff like that, it only really made me hungrier and just want to do better and try to get on that national team. And what I always told myself, yeah, I get upset when I wasn't going to youth national team camps, but what I always told myself when my parents told me was, your goal should be to get to the national team in the U23s. That's what really matters. Yep. So that's what I always told myself. And yeah, like you said, you see kids like that, but they peter out sometimes, but some kids go through.
It seems like you peaked at the right time then. And now, you know, I saw you in one of your last camps in Florida with the national team. You're 19 years old. Your professional career just started. Now you're getting recognized at the first national team because you said you weren't when you were younger. You know, you were getting passed by. You finally went through puberty, got your Popeye muscles, your growth spurt, everything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, tell me, because me and Bees have lived through it. We've been on the national team.
Yeah.
We know how it is to be a youngster. What pressure are you feeling now that you've been, you know, called in, you've been recognized, you've been identified, and now how does that translate to how you perform now moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, in the country right now, I think that there's a lot of hype around young players. I think that you guys can see that, and I think that the national team definitely wants a change in that sense of just, like, getting better in every situation. So I think that for me, I think it's kind of, I don't have Twitter. I don't go on Instagram that much. And I think staying away from social media, not getting hooked on that kind of stuff is big for me because that stuff can get in your head. So I try to stay away from it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think there is pressure because I'm a number 10. So I need to be able to score goals, get assists. And at a young age, it's tough being a number 10, but I take that responsibility and I kind of go with it. And I try to play the best I can every game and help the team as much as I can. So I don't really try to worry about the outside forces. I just try to play my game and enjoy soccer.
Take us back to your first call up. And what do you think about the speed of play? What do you find the most difficult compared to playing in the MLS with that international game?
Yeah. So my first call up with the national team was an October camp I think at the end of October. It was in two international games, and it was with when Christian, Tyler, Weston, all the big guys came. So it was really, really cool for me. And it, that was honestly another part of my career where I'd say it kind of opened my eyes a little bit more, because when you go into training, you see how these guys work and how good they really are. It only makes you want to get better. So I think just being in those situations and seeing how these guys work in training, how hard they work, how serious they take it, the extra work they do, and how they take the games, like just looking at them and how they like, what do they do before games, all that kind of stuff. Just kind of like just studying them, asking questions. I think that was definitely a big camp for me. And I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't get to play, of course, because there were two really important games, but it was just awesome. It was just a really awesome experience to just go there and see that.
Yeah, it's crazy that you say, you know, the big guys came in. And
yeah.
21.
Yeah,
they're not old. When I was there, it was, you know, it was the Claudios, the Eddie Pope. Yeah. You know, they were 30 and 31. And, yeah. You know, like, but the big guys now, but I like it though. I like it.
Yeah.
Our core group are young. They're hungry. They're good players. They're playing at big clubs. And the thing that I like about it a lot, is that they're important at their clubs.
Yeah.
Not just that they're at the club and they're fighting for time. I mean, what you have to do? You have to fight for time. You got to fight to play. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Guys are important to the club. They're important to the team. They're important to the coach. They're getting on the field. They're making a difference. And that's what you want to see. You know what I'm saying? That's what you want to see, the young players having a bigger role. And it's going to, you know, emulate to the national team. So I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's like they're 21, 22.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that's the way, you know, that we're going now. And I like that. I love that. I love the youth. I love the movement. For sure.
But also just to say that too, Michael Bradley was also there too.
Yeah.
And you have these old guys sprinkled in there too. And he was also a guy that I would ask questions to. And he was really cool. He'd come up to me, help me, and all those kind of things. So I think that having those older guys with the really, really good players that we have, young players that they have now, it's just a good mix, I think. So it's good to have that.
So Brandon, you said you know, US has a lot of hype with the younger generation now. And
yeah,
you've been kind of implemented into the national team scheme. Where do you see yourself falling now with Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna? Like, I know you as a young boy, and now as an older man. But how confident in your own abilities are you to be like, I don't care about them. I'm gonna take my opportunity when it comes.
Yeah,
how do you see yourself working into that whole? Midfield.
Exactly what you just said. I think that it's not worrying about all that kind of other stuff. It's when I get my chance, I need to take it. And I think that whenever I get called into a camp, it's going to be 100% serious. And I'm fighting for a spot, and I want to represent the country, and I want to be at that starting lineup spot. And I'm confident in my own ability, and I know what I can do. So I think it's just going into these camps, showing them that you want to represent the country and you want to be the best player you can.
Do you think with your ability, you could coexist with those names?
Yeah, I think I could. Yeah, for sure. I think I could for sure.
I like this kid. I like that beat. Tell me your three players you want to play with in the midfield of the national team, and the three you want ahead of you on the national team.
The three of what?
The three players in front of him, and the three the players he wants to play with in the midfield.
Oh, with. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a tough question. There's so many good players right now.
Stop it. Just answer the question.
There's
so many good players. Everybody is a great player.
You're the baller. Tell us who you think should be in that team, including yourself, who should be playing where, and I want names.
Okay. All right.
Who's your striker?
I would probably play the 10. And then on either side would probably Weston or Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And then left would probably be either Gio or Christian. Right would be Gio or Christian, either or at the wings. And then up top, Josh.
Look at you. Sorry. That's a young strike force right there.
Wait. Yeah.
So no Josie.
Josie too. That wouldn't be bad having him.
You can't have
you
him.
Said no Josh.
All right, Josh or Josie up top.
No. You can't say him or him. Look at this guy. You don't want no backlash.
I got a question for you. Sorry, Gooch, go ahead.
No. Go for it.
Have you ever seen DeMarcus Beasley or Gucci and Yebu play for the U.S. national team?
I did, yes. I've seen them many times.
Chill. Have you ever seen them a game a match or highlight them playing in Europe?
I don't know if I've ever seen a clip. I know I saw Gooch fight Zlatan. I've seen that video.
There's no video. There's
I've never
no
seen
video.
That video. But yeah, I like no video.
Look at this kid lying. Look at this kid lying on the crack. Ain't no video.
Hey, I saw something about it. And I have not seen DeMarcus play overseas.
Can you name two teams that Gooch and Yehu has played for?
Easy.
Besides Philadelphia Union.
AC Milan.
Boom.
He won't get another one.
He will. I trust him.
Yeah.
Ooh, stop texting him on the side.
Yeah, right.
Did he play in Holland? No, he didn't play in Holland, did he?
He did.
I'm going to help you. He played in Holland. He played in the Premier League. He played in the Belgium League and also in
Portugal.
Portugal.
And La Liga, too. He played the whole Europe. Come on, right.
Trying to think. Hold
on. We got to pass on that one. Give me two teams that Beasley paid for that weren't MLS teams.
He played for Fulham?
Nope.
No? Oh, God. I feel like I should know this.
I do, too.
Oh, man.
But, actually, these questions
He was, at the time, one of the only U.S. players to play in the Champions League. What was it, quarters or semis?
Semis.
Semi-final.
I know he played in the EPL. I know he played in the EPL for sure. But I'm just trying to think of which team.
Man City,
that's who it was. Yeah, Man City.
But, Beeb, I apologize for putting you on the spot, but this is the crack. And I just wanted to make a point. Okay. I just want to make a point. As like, you know, reason we're here is we want to bridge that gap, right? Because there's things that you're going to go through that these two gentlemen have been through. And they have to also know things that you can teach them on what's new or new experiences. So I just think that as a country to grow further, we have to make sure we know our history. To make sure that we know that you're not the first person to go through what you're going through or play where you're going to play. And speaking of that, I like we have a segment called
Say What?
What? Right? It's a segment we have called Say What. And I want to play you something from Gooch and Yehu describing his first international, his first debut as a professional playing in Europe, playing for France, a team called Metz. Here we go.
The papers loved it. The team loved it. And I actually almost scored, chipped the goalie from half field. With my left foot.
It was a tackle. There's no way you tried to shoot on your own.
I'm going to tell you, and I've been looking for this footage for over 15 years.
If you just can't find it, it's impossible.
It's there somewhere.
Look, yeah, so
you look 2003,
yeah,
French Cup, Metz against Bordeaux. We won this game. I came in the last 15 minutes. We were winning. We were up, and we were winning. The goalie came out, and I had the ball at midfield, left foot. From the midfield line, I was like, shoot, I'm going to swing on this one. I hit it straight on goal. Just goes over the bar.
With the crowd
directly down the middle, just over the bar. The whole
feeling they cut out.
The whole fan, the whole stadium was like, oh, just like.
The whole stadium said, ooh, Gooch, yo, is missing.
You can tell that he has never scored a goal in his life. If you gotta describe the fans' reaction to a
First of all, this is my professional debut. This is my professional debut.
Oh,
and would have been my first professional goal, period.
No matter.
Before playing it pro, how many stadiums did you play over? Thousands. Like over
that's not the point of it.
I can't.
Grabbing your goal, talking about the fans.
He chipped it almost from half field. No, that was a clearance. That was a clearance. Wasn't a chip. He was kicking the ball out.
Listen, Brandon. Don't listen to these clowns.
All right, so that's your question. So you seen Gooch play after when, you know, he was obviously a little bit older then.
Yeah.
So just if you can picture Gooch, him training, right? You picture him, one day you saw him in training. Can you picture him swinging with his left foot?
First of all, I wasn't a center back at that time.
Can I finish?
No, you can't finish. This is slander.
No, no. Swing in his left foot.
Gooch
now. From half field and almost scoring. Can you see that?
Yeah. Brandon, what side of the field did I play on in Philly?
I mean, he did play on the left.
Let him answer the question.
My bad.
I mean, he would have to. He'd have to be ambitious to hit something like that.
Oh, man.
Hey, I mean, I could see it. I mean, if
I mean, I played with the man for what, 15, 16, 17 years?
Hey, Brandon, we see all these national team players going overseas, obviously, but also living in MLS. I think most recently, Reggie Cannon, one of your international teammates, just got signed in Portugal. He actually scored in his first game. There's a lot of talks about yourself going over, but I also hear that you're going to stay back and play for and remain in the MLS. What are your thoughts? Is that any decisions have been made up yet? And, you know, how do you feel right now?
Yeah, I mean, my dream is to go to Europe, and there's nothing that's going to – I mean, that's my dream. And I don't think anything's going to hold me back from doing that. And that's for sure the end goal, for sure. But right now my focus is on Philly. And
nice.
I think the season has been fantastic already, and I think we need to just keep going.
Yes.
We're doing very, very well. So I think that my focus on team, and I don't want to let down them or anybody else. So that's really my focus right now. But for sure the end game is going to Europe, and the sooner the better.
Speak a little bit about Jim Curtin, who we all have played with and we're good friends with. Tell us about how he's helped your game. And what does he tell you to have so much trust in a young footballer like yourself to be the number 10 of his team?
Yeah, usually the other MLS teams, they don't have a lot of 10s that are under 20 years old or even above 20. Most of them are above 25. But
they don't give him the chance.
They don't give him the chance, especially at the 10, because the 10 is such an important position. So I think that it goes to show you how much he really trusts in me. And I think that since the first time I walked into preseason, I think just the coaching staff in general has been amazing. And I think that I've had a great relationship with Oka, Pat
Noonan. Oka, big shouts to Oka, baby.
Pat Noonan and Jim, of course. But, yeah, I think that we've had good connections. And I think that it's just something that they put a lot into me, and I think that sometimes I'll have bad games, but they stay patient with me, and I think that's a huge thing, staying patient and let me just keep playing. And I think that this year has been really a huge step up for me, and I think that I'm really starting to put things together and starting to get some goals and assists. So it definitely turned out to be good.
Bees, what do you like about Brandon's game?
I called him Silky. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that. I did. Thank you for that.
Why didn't you respond to the man when he called you Silky then?
How do you respond to that?
I'm not a big social media guy either. So it's all. Yeah. But no, I mean, I love your game. I love your game. Not so much as the work you put in, because I mean you run all over the field. Yes. I even think, you know, Jim Curtin said, I think it was against LAFC, you outran everybody by a kilometer and a half or something like that, or a mile and a half or something like that. The whole field, the whole team, both teams.
Yeah.
What I really like about you is that the things that you try to do, and not everything comes off, but a lot of the plays do. And you don't, you're not afraid to try things. You're not afraid to have a big presence on the field. You know, we all know you're skillful. You're very good around the box. You're very good with both feet. You know what I'm saying? But the fact for me is that if you're playing in those top four, you know, either number 10, winger, striker, you know, you have to try to make the game. You know, you can't play scared. You can't play, you know, kind of conservative. You know, you go at the game, you go at players. If you get a chance to go one-on-one, you go. If you have a chance to, you know what I'm saying, make a good pass, but a better pass, you usually make it. 9 out of 10. So I've been watching your game. I've been really watching your
game. Appreciate
it. What you play. I think you have a bright future, just like, you know, a lot of people have said it. And I can't wait to see.
How
you know,
much did you pay this man?
Huh?
Brandon, how much did you pay this man?
Hey, I'm serious. When I saw him play, man, that's why I said, I write on Twitter, not very often. I literally said, like, yo, man is silky.
Thank you.
You're skillful. The way you know what I'm saying.
Bees goes. This man is silky. He needs to get called up. I was like, Bees, he's been called up to the national.
I asked if he had ever been called up. I did not know.
It's all good.
Yeah, right. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how it goes.
Gooch. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Gooch, what form of advice can you give him on the transition of going to Europe?
I think he's trash, personally. No, honestly, look, man. I'm gonna tell you this. From my experience and Bees' experience,
and I believe that you have it already in a grounded family, understand where you came from, where you're going. And like Mookie said, there's nothing that you're going to experience that somebody else hasn't. So take pride in your development. Understand like the humble and hard grit and grind that you had to do to get there. And, you know, keep on working. I don't see any reason why you need to plateau anytime soon, right? As long as you keep your head on straight.
Got it.
And Brendan, there's something these gentlemen always talk about. The locker room in Europe is a little bit different than MLS.
Yeah.
Right. And how nobody's going to be your friend. You're competing for a job. Gooch, who had how many years you played professionally?
16.
16 years. And 13 of years, he's never played with friends. He always played coming into a new country.
15 years.
15 years. Coming to a new country, new team. Doesn't know anybody there, anybody on the team. Only until you came to Philadelphia Union that he had friends on the team. So you come to a situation where you've always been a Philadelphia Union man. Now you're out of your comfort zone. Bees, what is it like being 150 pounds playing in Europe? And you're American. They're also going to treat you differently as American.
Well, I mean, every country is different. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have the greatest. I mean, everybody's going to say what's up. You know what I'm saying? They're going to say good morning.
Yeah.
At the same time, they ain't going to invite you to dinner. You know, they ain't going to invite you to, because you coming in and take somebody's job.
Yeah.
You know, that is what it is. You know, they're going to look at you, how you train, and if you can actually help them win football games. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying? And once you gain that respect over in Europe with your play and how you are as a person, you know, you'll be fine. There's no reason why you won't do that. And I'm sure you will. You know, I don't know you personally, but just from what people – what I've seen and read about you and what people have said, you know, you won't have any problem if you do want to go to Europe sometime. You'll fit right in.
Yeah, thank you.
So, B, maybe just want to say thank you for, you know, checking in with us old folks.
Yeah, no.
And, awesome. And next time we do a podcast, we'll see you in Europe, man, whenever you get there, wherever you land up, you know?
Sounds good. No, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Let us know when you sign to Germany. I know it's already in the works. Thank you, buddy. All right, cool.
No, thanks, guys. Really appreciate you.
All right, buddy. Have a good day. Good.
Yeah, you guys too. Thank you for having me. Thank you. All right, bye.
Yes, sir. Young phenom, as some people like to say.
He is. I mean, all these kids are young phenoms. They're definitely young. That's for damn sure.
Starting he's brave though, and he works hard. And that's
he does. Right? He's a hard worker.
It's crazy,
and it's hard to be like knowing as a youth you were never called into it, because obviously me and myself kind of followed that national team system from like youth all the way up, and then like he said, to kind of be on the outskirts, it's not easy to keep that same motivation to get there, keep that drive, and then get to the first team. You know, it's
I mean, that's kind of like. Clint. Yeah, he didn't. He wasn't with the U14s and 15s like we, you know, was. So, you know, it doesn't matter what path you take. Is this, you know, what I'm saying, it's what you do.
You should stick to your guns, right? Maybe the way he was playing, they didn't appreciate that in the youth national team, but obviously as a pro, if he didn't come up to Philadelphia Union and get a first cap that early, he would never get called to the national team. So, sometimes as what the club looks for as a pro for that club is definitely what the national team may look at as a youth player, right? True. So Clint was a very tricky, brave player, just like Brennan. And, you know, he was looked at as a liability maybe, you know, or somebody who they can't, who's maybe erratic or, you know, wasn't as solid. But it shows you that they don't know everything.
Let's get Clint on the podcast. How are you?
We had to go fishing.
Let me... What's the probability that we can get Clint Dempsey on this podcast?
There we go. Clint Dempsey's the next guest. There you go.
You got him.
Just hit him up, Bees.
Yeah. He'd be like, Bees who?
Bees who?
Oh, I've never played with you one
time. I think I roomed with you one time.
Yeah, I think I roomed with
one of Bees' roommates.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, even though we wrapped up the first season, of doing 13 episodes, the first time we're ever doing a podcast. We're not going to have a long break. We're going to spin around and start season 2 quickly. We have a lot of new things and new arrangements coming up, and we'll announce those soon. But I want to say thank you to the listeners and the supporters who were with us from the very beginning. See us go through a pandemic together, also dealing with controversy and racial injustice in the country, also dealing with no football and still be able to put a show together. But I've enjoyed my time, and I can't wait to do many more seasons with my brothers. And I'm about to sign Beasley and Gooch to a contract. So CB, because I heard other people are trying to get you guys to come onto the podcast. So, you know, I'm going to have to lock you guys in. Now that Beasley has a microphone, I'm ready to commit.
What do you think of the microphone, though? It's all right, right?
It's all right. We just got to get Gooch now to get some shade and some light.
Oh, goodness gracious. Can you go through a whole episode without trying to clown somebody?
But Goose, no. It was funny. You got like the say what was funny. Come on, Goose.
Listen, funny. I'm gonna do in season two. What we're gonna do? I'm gonna find you that footage, and then when you watch it, you're gonna be like, oh,
we're gonna put it for all the fans to see.
You can put it all the fans. you guys are gonna watch it and be like, damn, Goose was alive.
I'm telling you, the thing that made it funny was that when you described the fans.
Ooh. Yo.
Imagine, Bees, you played in foreign country. Your debut at PSV.
Dog, I get
with
it.
With your right foot, and you chipped the goalie. Can a man have a dream?
It's still funny.
I get that part. I'm just saying, you actually said, yo, even the fans were like, ooh.
And it just missed the crossbar. You, 10 more years from now, it's going to like hit the crossbar, jump off, hit something else. And then you're going to do
I hate y'all. You know, I'm not coming back on season two. This is my last season. This is my last
negotiation.
Speak to my agent.
Oh, man. But listen, I just want to say, everybody, make sure you go subscribe, comment, like. We can't wait for you guys to see what we have coming up. Give us some feedback. Give us some ratings on Apple Podcasts and as well as YouTube. And again, any criticism or comments is always we always love to hear.
Yeah, but just go to Gooch's DMs. There you go.
Oh shoot. Gooch, on that note, take it out, brother.
Go to my DMs too. Go to my DMs. If you got something to say, we want to hear it. So yeah, my DMs are open. I don't know, but you know what I'm saying.
First of all, I'm unfollowing the both of you after this show.
Let's wrap up the show.
All right, people, we appreciate you guys tuning in for the first season. Like Mookie said, we're going to have a great second season coming up. We can't wait to share with you all the new stuff and all the new guests that we're going to have. It's going to be great. But please follow us, subscribe, like us, leave comments, because that's the only way we're going to know that you're appreciating what we're doing. All right?
There you go.
All right. Love y'all. Peace.
Peace.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.